From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. So here's something I do all the time, and I'm sure you've done it too. I come up with some idea, some cool thing I think should exist in the world, and then I start to think about all the complications of actually bringing it into the world. I'd have to learn how to do this and set up that thing, and I don't know if that part exists, so I'd have to build it and so on and so on until finally I'm like, you know what? Too complicated. But the thing I love about some entrepreneurs is that they just dive right in. Maybe sometimes they don't even consider the challenges, or they just figure there's no way to anticipate the challenges, so they might as well just meet them head on and see what happens. And that's basically what happened with the co-founders of Indie Walls, a company that was set up to place and sell art on the walls of small businesses. So, you know, like when you walk into a cafe and see art hanging on the wall, Indie Walls wanted to be the one to place that art, and then if you liked that art, facilitate the sale, which sounds cool until you try to make that.
In our case, the idea of having, you know, hundreds of or thousands of pieces up for sale in these kind of venues made a lot of sense in theory.
That's Ari Grazi, a co-founder of Indie Walls.
But then when you started getting to the logistics of it, and artwork actually, you know, how much of it is actually going to be sold, who's going to manage those transactions, when artwork, the exhibition is done, who's deinstalling it, and the logistics of it became a lot more real.
What followed was, frankly, a lot of disasters and a lot of learning. To succeed, Indie Walls would have to rethink not just what it does, but also who it does it for. It had to rethink big subjects, like who exactly are its customers? Because at first, it was targeting totally the wrong people, and it would have to make changes, make these changes multiple times. But finally, Indie Walls got it right. It's turning a profit, and it's doing, well, a version of what it originally set out to do. So on this episode of Problem Solvers, we're going to tell the story of Indie Walls, which is to say, the story of two guys who jumped into a project without really appreciating what it would take to succeed, and then figuring it out as they went. We'll get into it all right after the break. Even entrepreneurs need to take a break, right? Right. And for me, whenever I can carve out a little time, I like to watch sports, especially the Miami Heat, because I was with them before LeBron and I'm still there after. I've even put money down occasionally, but I've always lost. Think you can do better? That's what my bookie is for. You go, lay down some cash, and win right on the spot. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for fantasy players, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. And the range of games you can bet on are awesomely wide. You've got the NBA and NFL and all that, of course, but also cricket, international baseball, Aussie rules football. Have you ever seen Aussie rules football? It is amazing. It is chaos. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Here's how to do it. Visit MyBookie today. Then when you're creating your account, use the promo code SOLVERS to activate the offer. Again, that's MyBookie, MyBookie, and use the promo code SOLVERS to get a dollar for dollar match on your deposit. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. And now, our second sponsor.
Incredible starts when you have an expert who knows your business. It starts with TriNet, human resources that tailor a strategy for success for small and medium-sized businesses. So no matter what industry you're in, you can grow with confidence. See how TriNet's industry-focused HR can give you more at TriNet.com. Incredible starts here. TriNet.
Okay, we're back. So first, let's understand what Indie Walls was initially setting out to do.
It's the origin story of nearly every successful startup.
That's entrepreneur contributor Joe Cohane, who was the one that talked to the Indie Walls guys, and he has our story.
An entrepreneur notices something, some small hassle or outdated way of doing things, and instead of doing what most people do, which is muttering some mild obscenity and moving on, the entrepreneur sees in this hassle the seeds of a revolutionary new business.
I was on campus in a cafe called Mandibles up at Cornell, and in the cafe there had been this artwork by this artist named Alice Molbeck that I had seen many times before. It was a piece that was very curious and interesting and something that really reminded me of my college experience, and I wanted to purchase the piece.
That's Gavi Wolf, the other co-founder of Indie Walls.
And I thought, this is kind of a difficult way for me to purchase it. There was a little piece of paper like you've probably seen underneath the artwork, and there was a phone number there that I could call with a price, so I figured I'm going to have to write this person a check, and it was just a really kind of ridiculous process.
But standard, right? Like, that is the totally crazy way that art is sold in cafes. Who ever goes through with a purchase like that?
Gavi had a background in both business and art, and he believed that he had stumbled upon the sort of pain point that you could build a business on. He wanted to find a way to merge the offline world of independent art and the online world of e-commerce. And basically, he wanted to create a site where artists could post their art and small businesses could select pieces they liked and temporarily display them in their spaces. Then, when the patrons wanted to buy something, they could just buy it straight off the site and the company could take a percentage. So Gavi called a friend, Ari Grazi, to see if he wanted to launch this thing together. Ari worked in sales and in real estate, and he had a brother who was a painter, and the idea of bridging those worlds was appealing to him. So Ari signed up, and they scraped together some money from family and friends, and they got a friend to build the site, and off Ari went, signing up artists and venue owners in Manhattan, block by block.
If you looked at our like old property maps, it was just concentric circles expanding from my apartment. I rode around on my bicycle, and I talked to whoever would be willing to talk to me.
And it turned out a lot of people did want to talk to him. A lot of people actually loved the idea.
In the late 2011, early 2012, we got about 35 properties signed up in Manhattan. So we had hundreds, if not a little over 1,000 works of art hanging all around New York. And we thought, you know, this is great. This is perfect. We're ready to crush it.
They were not, as it happens, ready to crush it.
It did not go as planned in our first year in 2012. We sold about $50,000 worth of art, and we were like, we cannot run a business this way. It was not functional. The numbers were not working out. Even if we had hundreds of properties up, it was just really not going to work.
In fact, if they had scaled up, it might have even made the problem worse. They just hadn't built an efficient business. They couldn't manage it. It took more than $50,000 worth of work to sell $50,000 worth of art, and that is not an equation you can win with. This goes back to what Ari was saying at the top of the show. The logistics were just crazy. Who's hanging all of this art? Who's taking it down? Who's moving it around? It was just too much.
We were in an incubator at the time, and one of our advisors, you know, really kind of forced us to look at what the problem was. And, you know, no amount of like tech or marketing or press was going to save you from a business model that wasn't a good one. So, you know, we thought we really need to change this up.
All right. Now, ordinarily in these cases, entrepreneurs have to go back to the drawing board, and they spend days or weeks or months or even years sweating blood to find a way to make their idea work. But sometimes it's less about burning the midnight oil than it is about being open to new possibilities that come from places that you hadn't even thought to consider in the first place. And that's exactly what happened with Indie Walls.
We got a message actually on Twitter from a hotel in New York who really was interested in connecting us and finding about what we did. I had a meeting with them and they said, you know, we love your idea of helping us connect with local artists, but we don't want the artwork to be temporary. We want to actually buy artwork. They needed artwork for all the suites in the hotel. And they said, we have $30,000. Can you help us buy $30,000 worth of artwork? And we said, you know, sure, let's try it out. We didn't say, sure, let's try it out.
We said, we'll do anything you want for $30,000.
That's true. And it turned out to be a sale that we were able to manage really, really seamlessly and make a good margin on it. And we said, this might be the kind of aha moment or opportunity to pivot that we were looking for.
Would you look at that? Something actually good happens on Twitter. It's a miracle. But really, consider what's happening here. A customer is coming along to Indie Walls and saying, I'm interested in a service you don't provide. Can you provide it? I mean, what a gift. And not a rare gift, I might add. I've heard a version of this story from so many founders. If you keep your ears open, you'll discover that your customers are routinely telling you what they want, even if it doesn't match what you do. And sometimes what they actually want might be the new direction for your business. It's the secret to reaching your customers. And in this case, the Indie Walls guys took this moment as a big lesson. Maybe there was a whole untapped market they were missing. So they started doing their research.
We really started canvassing the industry of commercial real estate, hotel development, restaurants, offices. And what we found was that there was a real appetite and interest in connecting with local artists and having these really cool curated art installations, but that it was falling on either a marketing manager who had no kind of trained art experience or on the interior designer. The problem is that interior designers are managing the entire build out of the space, so they are technically often responsible for finding or approving the artwork, but most interior designers don't have access to dozens or hundreds of thousands of artists, and they don't have the time to really have that kind of communication.
As a result, these interior designers, Ari and Gavi discovered, were farming out their art needs to third-party companies.
Most of the companies that were already in the space were very focused on like stock imagery, you know, so that picture of a flower printed 2,000 times for a hotel guest room. That's not really what modern travelers want. It's not what interior designers want to find. It's not what hotel developers and brands want.
What they did want was what Indie Walls, which had by then signed up hundreds of independent artists, was in a unique position to deliver.
After that initial sale to that first property, we really started doubling down on this sort of commercial industry and really just helping them buy artwork. And we found that properties wanted everything from prints for the guest room, so the same print over and over again for 1,000 rooms, to we've made pieces made out of 10 to 15,000 buttons, made into like a very complex, unique artistic work. We've made digital artwork, video artwork, massive sculptures.
The new business plan was to work exclusively with commercial clients. A hotel would say, get in touch, and Indie Walls would help them find existing artwork or maybe commission something original, acting as the advocate for both sides, ensuring that the clients get what they need and the artists get a fair price. And Indie Walls would take a percentage similar to what a high-end art gallery would take. And this business plan, unlike the previous one, turned out to have legs.
This finally gave them the momentum they needed. They started building out a team, bringing in real revenue, seeing organic growth, and some very cool clients started approaching them, through which Indie Walls got an even better sense of exactly what clients were looking for and how they, as this little art startup, could be useful to even the biggest of companies.
We worked on a project with Google, and they needed to buy over 350 original works of art sourced from dozens of different artists, knowing that they wouldn't need to speak to each artist individually and that a curator from Indie Walls would be managing that entire communication channel was a huge value proposition to them.
The proposition was good for artists, too. Artists, after all, seldom have access to the corporate world. They don't speak that language. They're practically a different species. But Indie Walls would give them access and, of course, pretty good money.
We paid artists in the millions of dollars, and we're really, really proud of that. And these are artists who are maybe right out of school and just starting their career, or artists who have families and are using the money to pay for their kids' tuition.
And then, well, Ari and Gavi almost fell victim to another assumption.
After that first year, we did really well. We continued to double in revenue, getting into the seven figures and all the way into 2016. In 2016, we started to really build out our team. We had, you know, into that seven-figure range, had a good amount of cash, and so we said, let's kind of really dive headfirst into this. So we brought on a lot of engineering. We thought, you know, engineering is the way to go in the age of TechCrunch and just general Silicon Valley lore. Let's spend heavy in that category, and we'll solve all of our problems with tech. You know, like tech can solve all problems.
What problems were they solving?
We assumed that instead of us having to spend lots of time helping you find the artwork and helping you communicate directly with the artist and help you fulfill that order, that you could just do it all on your own, kind of like Airbnb, right? There's just lots of listings of houses and you can go on. So we figured we'll have lots of listings of art, better ways to discover it, kind of a crowdsource model of discovery. Art, the clients will discover it, these interior designers who are generally our clients, and then they'll buy it right through the site.
That assumption turned out to be incorrect.
Ah, a classic misunderstanding of the customer. They weren't coming to Indie Walls and telling them they wanted a crowdsourced model of discovery. They were coming and saying, hey, curate this for us. They're saying, we don't want to do this. You do it. And listen, yes, sometimes the customer doesn't know what it wants. We can talk all day about how if Steve Jobs surveyed his consumer and did whatever they said they wanted, he would have never come up with the iPhone. Got it. But of course, Steve Jobs did understand what his customer wanted. He just knew they couldn't articulate it in a way that he could. The question comes down to, are you really spending the time understanding what your customer wants from you and what you can deliver? And sometimes it's okay to flat out ask them, hey, is this a service you'd be interested in from us? That's a fine question to ask. But if you don't gain that understanding and make a big change based on assumption, indie walls is what happens. They invested in this big change of service, and the result was a major slowdown in revenue.
Which meant that we couldn't really afford the staff that we had built out and the expenses that we had really built out. And at the beginning of 2017, we had to take a really hard look at the way that we had been developing the business and really restructure things. We had to really sadly lay people off. We had to cut down our expenses. Ari and I stopped paying ourselves for several months and really went back to the drawing board. And what we realized is every company really relies on technology, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be their value proposition. And our value proposition was our ability to connect these two people, and it was our ability to fulfill these orders really well.
In other words, Ari and Gavi realized that the truly unique skill that they brought to the table was their ability to bridge the worlds of art and corporations, to speak the language of both and make sure that their clients' and vendors' needs were both attended to. That personal touch, it turns out, was the key to their early success. That was the business. And that was the sort of thing you can't really automate.
This was a B2B market, so it wasn't a bunch of people who are sitting at home and buying things on Amazon and then hopping onto our website to buy one piece of art. They're spending anywhere from $10,000 to $500,000 on art, and they're not really willing to just go and do it all on their own.
So for a second time, Ari and Gavi took a hard look at a key assumption and changed course.
They doubled down on the stuff that mattered. Operations, helping these business clients the way they truly wanted to be helped. No more tech, no more assumptions. The client is being served the way the client wants to be served. And with that, the company began to grow again. And by the end of 2017, it had its first year of profits well into the six figures. And 2018, they say, is looking even better.
And at the beginning of this year, we've had the biggest quarter in our history. It was almost, you know, one quarter was almost as big as our entire year of 2016. And so really have kind of restructured and gotten on a really strong foot, kind of recognizing who we are as a company.
Look, few entrepreneurs are right out of the gate about who they are or who their customers are or how people will even use their products. But the good ones learn to roll with it. They learn to continually test their assumptions and, however painful it might be, to let go and change course if necessary. And that, happily, has been the big takeaway for Indie Walls.
We had this vision of what we wanted the company to be, but it really wasn't about our product or what we wanted the product to be. It was really about what our customers needed. And it was kind of one of those classic times where you say, it's not really about what you want the product to be, it's about what your customers need.
And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.